Blog Talk Radio.
Never bittersweet, oh, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. Blessings and greetings, greetings, and blessed, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim. Instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You now tune into the inner higher frequency of Soul Class 412, heart to heart from Jerusalem to the west, rest of the world. Program presentation number 12 with Hashem's help, and we've got him on the line already. We've got international human rights activist Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock. Rabbi Goldstock will be speaking to us live from Jerusalem, Israel, the capital city of the 12 tribes of Israel, not the 12 scribes of Israel, but the 12 tribes. And right now it's about 4:31 in the holy city of Jerusalem, while we are chiming in live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Unifying Souls, actually. And we invite you, blessed souls, also to check out Rabbi Goldstock's international website, www.hearttoheartamerican.org/Jerusalem.html, where you can learn about some exciting things going on with his project. And I say that projects with an S because there are many projects going on with Rabbi Goldstock's organization in the holy city of Jerusalem. In the meantime, may the eternal creator bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. But blessed souls, I have a beef with Rabbi Goldstock. As he promoted our show, he called me a wonderful, wacky host. I might be quacky. I might deserve a smacky once in a while. Last week he called me sweetie. Well, I'm going to try to get a little more meaty and say, Rabbi Goldstock, am I that wonderful and wacky?
You sure are. And I want to tell you something. It's great to be back. But let's start the bracha. Let's start the program off today with a big bracha. And
yes,
welcome to Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, the city of gold stock. Chaim Chaim, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehako Nihyo B'Dvorei.
Amen. And what Rabbi Goldstock did was make a public sanctification of the Holy One, blessed He, by pronouncing to the world that He is the blessed are you, God, Creator, Lord, or King of the universe, who brings everything and manifests everything by that which proceeds out of his mouth. And I'm now going to make a bracha on some quackas, maybe some people call them crackers, but in my world, since I'm a wonderful, wacky host, co-host, as Rabbi Kotick says, I'm going to have some quackers. Baruch
quick quack, yeah.
Bore, my name, Zonos.
Amen. Oh, nice. Nice. And Don just made a bracha on all those products that are made with made from flour and not just with water, but usually have juice in them or sugar and are known as, I call them the sweeties or the sweet rolls. It could be eating spaghetti. Again, anything that's made with flour, but is not just flour and water, plain flour and water. Right. And you thanked the creator of the universe for that. And I'm assuming you ate a sweet roll.
Actually, I had a dry quacker.
Quacker. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm quacking up over here because I did not understand what you were saying. And now that you repeated it, I'm catching up. It's always nice to catch up.
When
Hines, 57, Hunts, catch up is good. By the way, a man came up to this old Mr. Katz in town. He was visiting in New York. You know, the city. He said, "And what's the quickest way to the city, to New York City?"
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Katz scratches his head and he says, "Wait a minute, are you walking or driving?" He asked the guy. No. He says, "I'm driving." He says, "Oh, that's the quickest way."
With that being said, that joke wasn't all that it was
so
cracked up to
so
be. Wait, I'm going to make
one more.
But I want to be a J for J, a Jew for juicing. I just juiced up a giant green pepper, a giant red apple, and a teeny tiny slimy light lemon. So let me make a bracha. Baruch ato Adonai Elohim melech haolam, shel kol nevuah.
Amen. And Don just made a bracha, as he mentioned earlier, thanking Hashem for the King of the Universe, the creator of everything who blesses, whom we bless for all of our good things. And he was drinking. You know, there was an Italian said, "I'm tired and thirsty. I must have wine." And then there was a Scot, a fellow from Scotland. He says, "I'm tired and thirsty. I must have some scotch." And the Russian says, "I'm tired and thirsty. I must have some vodka." And the German says, "I'm tired and thirsty. I must have some beer." And the Jew says, "I'm tired and thirsty. Oi, I must have diabetes." Anyhow, so...
Now that's a good joke.
You know. Oh, thanks. I'm trying to catch up. You know what I mean? I'm trying to make up for lost time. I've hit you with a number of clunkers over time, you know, so I figure it's time to make up. Anyhow, so there's so much going on here today, and you have a... You have an agenda as well, so let's get to it, you know?
All right.
Let's stop having the wacky part. Let's get to the wonderful part.
Okay. Now, blessed souls, I was thinking today as I was praying in the famous Frankel Shul here in Kessler-Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York, reviewing in my mind because
there's... praying for a number of years. I just want to mention, you and I davened together for a couple of years in that shul together.
That's right.
I was there at the time helping a friend of mine get through a very rough time, and it turns out, well, I don't want to get into that, but it turns out that the good thing that happened was you and I actually sat side by side next to each other and davened for a couple of years together there, and I must say they were really wonderful, wonderful, wacky years, you know?
And that wasn't the first time we had some wonderful, wacky years. If you remember the Tzemek
Tzedek
Shul in Muncie.
In Muncie, that's right, in the... what do you call it? What was that? The
Tzemek Tzedek Shul.
With the Tzemek Tzedek, yeah. And we also learned in the, what was the Bardichev. The Bardichev Shul across the street.
Right. That's 23 years ago.
We learned there
a
few times as well. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyhow, yeah.
So anyway,
the Tzemek Tzedek
is
still there, and they're, the shul is huge now.
Right. Well, the old one burnt down, unfortunately, but... You know, sometimes the burning of something leads to a bigger blessing. In that case, they actually expanded.
And the Rav passed away, Rabbi.
That was a big burning, unfortunately.
That was a big loss for that community. Yeah.
Yep. To this day,
anyhow.
Felt. With that being said, blessed souls, when we pray as a quorum of 10 Jewish men, which is basically not just for connecting to God, it's for our own sense of getting our acts together. Sometimes I have the opportunity to pray exactly word for word. In some instances with the other nine men I'm praying with, and sometimes there's more. And sometimes I go a little bit ahead. So when I got a little bit ahead of the rest of the men until we got to a certain break point where it's called the before Yishtabach, which is an expression of blessing of praise to the Creator, I was thinking about priorities in life. And from last week's Torah portion to this week's Torah portion, last week's Torah portion being Parshas Toldos, and this week's Torah portion being Vayetzei, about what were the priorities of twin brothers, those twin brothers being Esav and Yaakov. And this week, Yaakov also got an additional name by the name of Israel. Well, Esav honored his parents. In fact, he tried to be extremely frum, or religious, as we might say in the secular terminology. He would even ask his father, how much should he take as a tithe from straw and salt? While Yaakov was content to sit in the tents of Torah, which were the tents of the yeshivas of his own father Yitzhak, and up until the age of 15 of Abraham, and then for Shem, the son of Noah, and Aver, his great-grandson. And then Esav gave over the firstborn blessing to Yaakov, and then eventually Yaakov, following the instruction of his mother, Rivka, received the firstborn blessing from his father Yitzhak. And when Esav realized that he had lost out on the firstborn blessing from his father Yitzhak, he cried a bitter cry and said, Father, can you bless me? Now let's fast forward to this week's Torah portion. And Yaakov, or I should mention also in last week's Torah portion, Yaakov worked like a dog for a person we termed as the biblical depiction of white trash. His name was Lavan, because Laban was a deceiver, although he made himself to look like he was a respectable member of his community or leader of his community. And in this week's Torah portion, Yaakov is heading back to the Holy Land of Israel, and he's now raised up 11 sons from four wives, and there's a problem. His twin brother, who 20-plus years before had actually desired to kill him because Yaakov's mother, Rivka, Rebecca, had a prophetical experience where she could read the thoughts of Esav that he wanted to kill his twin brother. And she realized that would be a disaster because she knew from prophetic insight that if the day one son would pass away, the other son would pass away, and she could not bear such a thought. So she advised him, and he went with the blessings of his father to go to where he went to live in the area of Lavan. He raised up 11 children with his four wives and was heading back. And as he was coming back to the land of Israel, or then it was called the Canaan, lo and behold, Esav is there to greet him with 400 soldiers with the intent to kill him and, of course, to plunder his possessions. So in the midst of all this, we see this very terse depiction in this week's Torah portion of how Yaakov is going to get innocently some leftover jars, because a tzaddik, a righteous person, realizes that one's physical possessions are not just the means of one can live in a comfortable lifestyle, but there's every aspect, every possession that a Jew has is something which can be used to be sanctifying the name of God. And Yaakov went to get back these small jars, and lo and behold, out of nowhere, this angel, who appears like a man, is wrestling with him. And this angel is with the intent of killing Yaakov. And in the end, not only did he not kill Yaakov, he added another name to Yaakov. And now he said, no longer you should be only called Yaakov, you should also be called Yisrael, because you can strive with men and angelic beings and conquer both. So who is this angelic being that came to wrestle and potentially, God forbid, take the life of Yaakov? It was none other than the guardian angel of Esav. And in the inner dimensions of Torah, it's mentioned this angelic or guardian angel of Esav was none other than the Samech Mem, the angel of death. So you might say, how could that be? I mean, Esav lived for many years. How could his guardian angel be the angel of death? Blessed souls, this highlights, the Torah is giving us a very important instruction, that Esav was so connected to things which are the antithesis of life and life-preserving qualities and life-preserving values, that even 20 years later, we can assume that since we see in the beginning of this week's Torah portion, Esav was coming with the intent of harming or killing Yaakov and taking his possessions, the negative energy that he generated bequeathed him with the, I would not say the merit, but the, how should we say, doleful merit, the woeful merit of having a guardian angel who's actually the angel of death. And look at the side of Yaakov. Yaakov is able to actually overcome his circumstances just like a differently abled person can, as we have evidenced in 17 years of my work in the social services field. And Rabbi Goldsmith has observed in over 40-plus years of experience in the field of enabling all different types of human beings. And Yaakov got an additional name, which shows that he can strive with men and angelic forces and conquer both. So Eliezer, I'm going to hand the ball to you.
What else happened to Yaakov in that battle?
He
actually became physically disabled.
He became differently able.
He walked with a limp.
His gitter nasha, the tendon, which is what connect. Where is that connected to the hip bone? Where is that?
Yeah.
Oh, I hear Mendy.
That's Mendy just walking. The army just arrived.
Okay. So the gitter nasha, the synaptic nerve. Where exactly is that located, Eliezer? You know biology better than me.
What's that? It was
wasn't
on
the sciatic nerve.
Back of the thigh.
Back of
the
thigh.
Back of the thigh. Yeah.
Okay.
So, one second. I'm getting up. Hi. How are you doing? Listen, the computer setup. You can go in, but keep it down quiet because I'm talking. Okay. We're doing a radio program.
Mommy
and Suri went to Kenyan Adar. They'll be back shortly, and you and I are going to go out and get new shoes in a little while.
Yes.
I'll talk with you after I finish.
Eliezer,
okay,
how do you get new Jews?
New Jews? You're new Jews? If I have to explain that to you, how many children do you have? Never mind. So
new shoes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Shoes. Yeah, not new Jews. So here's what happens. First of all, let me just explain that Yaakov, when he met Esav, was very scared.
Mm-hmm.
And he was distressed.
Yes.
And he divided his people into two camps.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When he went to meet Esau. So there's Hasidus explains that why was Yaakov afraid and distressed? And the reason was because the children of Israel, the Yidden, were divided. And Yaakov
mm-hmm.
knew that when the Jewish people stand united, when they stand united, Esav was powerless
mm-hmm.
against them. It's only when the Jews are splintered into different camps that there's a reason to worry. Okay? And then there's another point here. The children, he says, the children are tender. That's... He says, why did Yaakov make a point of mentioning that the children, in response to Esau's invitation, why did he have to mention them at all? And he says, because being in Esau's proximity was much more of a threat to his impressionable children than it was to himself. In other words, he wasn't worried about himself. He was worried what effect would Esau have on the children. And his children's purity... The purity of his children, the tahor of his children, was his number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and finally, there's another point here. You're talking about twins, and but they had a sister also. And there's certainly punishments whose nature is based on their crime. Like if a person steals something, so he has to make monetary restitution, and if he commits a murder, he's subject to the capital punishment, right? But the
mm-hmm.
vile deed that was committed against Dina was not in this category and can never be humanly rectified in this manner. You see, there are certain things that people do of evil people, vile people, that they do in this world that has no equal punishment that could actually be done Nida Keneged Mida in an actual equal force against force.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like it says, if you steal, so you have to make restitution with money. Because you stole, you have to pay back whatever it was. Or if you kill somebody, you have to, you're subject to capital punishment. You give it your life. But what they did to Dina and what happened in Shechem was something that is goes beyond even the moral sanctity of punishment. Okay? So now let's, just for a moment, if you will, and this is a little piece of Hasidism. I'm going to try to do it the Kitzer. It comes from the, this is originally from the Rebbe, of course. But it's something that's just, I think it's brilliant. And this is the 12 steps to justice. So it says in the first five books of Moses, the Chumash, it's also called the Book of the Just. And it narrates the lives of our ancestors, whom the Gemara refers to as just. As it is axiomatic in the Judaism that the deeds of the ancestors are a sign for their descendants.
Right.
It follows that in Bereishis, Genesis is the blueprint for all Jews in their service of the of Hashem. So in other words, Genesis teaches us how a Jew is supposed to live. So this idea is expressed in the names of the Torah parshas that are themselves. The first parsha is Bereishis, which means in the beginning, which instills the basic awareness that Hashem created the world for the Torah and for the Jewish people. The second parsha is Noach, which alludes to the ultimate objective in the world's creation, to bring Nachas Ruach, pleasure linguistically related to the name Noach, to Hashem by fulfilling his desire for a dwelling place in the physical realm. And next, we have the portion Lech Lecha, go out. You should go out. Describes the dynamics of how this is accomplished. The soul is forced to leave the higher spiritual realms and become enclosed in a corporeal body where it is constantly urged to transcend the level it has already attained and climb to the next level. And then comes Vayera. He appeared, and he appeared. Refers to God's special revelation to every Jewish neshama, which assists us in our divine mission. This Hashem, this revelation that Hashem gives us penetrates all aspects of the neshama of the soul, hinted at in the name of the Torah portion, Chaya Sora, the life of Sora. Sora lived 127 years, which is an esoteric allusion to all of the soul's powers. Once Hashem gives us these capabilities, we are then able to create toldos, generations or descendants. As our sages stated, the descendants of the righteous are their good deeds. After this basic outline has been defined, the Jew's service is further elucidated in the next two portions, which is Vayetze, and he went out, and especially in this week's Parsha, Vayishlach, and he sent. And Yaakov went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. Refers to the Jew's spiritual journey to even the very lowest levels of existence for the purpose of elevating, for the purpose of elevating him, but even that is not enough. The Jew must then send out messengers to Esau, symbolic of the antithesis of godliness and holiness, to purify and refine these realms as well. The next parsha, Vayeshev, and he dwelt, refers to Hashem enabling us to live in peace and tranquility, which leads to Mekates at the end, the successful completion of our mission. See, all Jews will be completely united with Vayigash, with Hashem, Vayigash, and he came near, which will then culminate in the eternal life with the resurrection of the dead, Vayechi, and he lived. However, the main part of our mission, the refinement of evil and its transformation into good in preparation for Mashiach, is contained in this week's Parsha. You see how the Rebbe takes 12 Parshas, puts them in a row, and turns it into a 12-step program. Brings us right to Mashiach. From the beginning, right to Mashiach. And that is the most logical explanation that I can possibly give you. And there's a couple things that are going on here in Yerushalayim, and you know we should cover a quick thing here. There's an old issue that we're discussing here right now in Israel. There's a lot of stuff going on here, by the way.
Right.
there was a headline in the paper this week that said, "The right is wrong, the left's not right." It's a little political play on words, of course. An old issue, how does Israel define itself, has come about. And this has been a problem that the Knesset is now toiling with. Are we a Jewish state? Is Israel a Jewish state? Is it a democratic state? Is it a pluralistic state that represents a plurality of its citizens? And if so, should it make any pronouncements as to an ethnic, cultural, or religious identity? So how is Judaism defined in the state? Yeah, that's really the question that everybody's toiling with right now. What role does Turkish law play in the modern Israeli society? Hamahara is, I think, what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
These are all questions that are being debated in light of the cabinet's recent approval of the Jewish state, the bill that's in consideration by the Knesset. The cabinet approved that. So now the question is, to some people, these questions may reflect the mere exercise in semantics. Yet, what they should realize is that both the body, the political borders of the state of Israel, and the soul, the state of Israel, have continually been under discussion by the international community and the whole, and the body politic of Israel. So here we have, and there's a beautiful article that was written by Stephen Donchick, and I'm quoting here. He says, although the international community carved out a piece of the state of Israel from an area known as Palestine, which had earlier been part of the Ottoman Empire and then a British mandate, there was never any agreement on the final borders. So in 1948, an armistice line, oh my gosh, you ever have a problem with the word? Was drawn to end the fighting
right. That
was initiated after the United Nations voted to create the State of Israel. After its creation, Israel continued to defend itself and fight for its survival in a series of wars, 1956, 1967, 1973, 1982, 2006, 2014. Listen, after 66 years of existence, Israel continues to fight for its political, geographical integrity in the world that, at best, has ambivalent feelings about the Jews and their right to live in the land of Israel. And boy, is that ever a truism. And I don't know what we're worried about the rest of the blinking world, you know? The continual, I'm adding that, of course, that's
not... Can I interject for 1 second?
Sure.
Because my own, you know, Dalit, almost my own man in the street Torah activist viewpoint is that, unfortunately, still we the Jewish people are, you know, I'm involved in tobacco cessation trainings and counseling, and there's a stage called pre-contemplation stage, where the person doesn't recognize the problem, and therefore
right.
they don't want to make a change. And so, unfortunately, there's still too many Jews who are in pre-contemplation state in terms of what, who they are in relation to Hashem, to God, who they are in relation to their own people, and who, and last, and very important as well is who we are in relation to the world. If we not reflect, but deflect our true sense of being who we are, which can only be afforded us by accessing Torah teachings and values and implementing them into acts of kindness.
Here's the problem, and I agree with
yeah.
you. Here's the problem. For those of us who are living in Israel right now, there's the ever-present feeling of a sense of insecurity. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
know, let's face it. We're facing materialistic threats from everywhere.
Right.
Radical groups and moderate groups, you know. I mean,
right.
And then Jews that live everywhere in the world, you know, are facing another Holocaust, God forbid. Let's face it. If you're looking at what's going on in the world, the sense of diligence that pervades vigilance, that pervades the Jewish people's perspective on the world, is that these political entities and decisions that we're talking about are really a threat to our future as Jews on this planet. So, there's a Torah perspective. I agree with that. But, you know, there's a political reality that we, you know, we've got these boycotters that are all over the world. We don't feel it so much in Israel, the boycotters, but they are starting to have a little bit of an impact, I think, on the world economy. And it's causing a lot of confusion for many people. So here's okay. You're right. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but the identity of a Jew, and I'm not talking just Torah Jews. I'm talking to every Jew who's listening to us from every continent in the world right now.
Right.
That these disagreements that we see amongst Jews. It starts here in Israel. It's in Crown Heights. There are certain places in the world where I look and say, okay, there's Achdus, you know, there's unity.
Right.
So you know, I don't worry too much. But I'm not seeing that right now. I'm seeing a real dichotomy of divergence of question. Is it a democratic state? Not that it's not. Just a second, I have to.
Right.
Thank you. It's not the question. I'm not concerned with democracy and I'm not concerned with the level of Jewish state and all that stuff. Point is that there's this conflict that exists amongst the Jewish people about some basic religious doctrine. I mean, it doesn't matter whether, you know, we're focused on Yiddishkeit, on Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Those aren't important issues right now. The role of religion is not that it is a question. There's no problem there in terms of that being a part of the discussion. But the debate is not whether it's Judaism versus Christianity versus Islam, Islam versus Christ, all these other things. That's not the issue. The issue is, are the Jewish people united? Are the Jewish people united as to who we are and how we face the world? And we're not. And that's where we see that Esav was, Yaakov was concerned. What was Yaakov concerned about was that there was a division amongst the Jewish people. And there he knew that we were vulnerable. And this lack of understanding in terms of the societal plurality, if you will, is what's preventing the Israel from speaking with one voice.
Right.
We don't have the luxury of being a society that can unravel at any time.
True.
And yet here we are with this whole discussion taking place in the Knesset and the cabinet as to whether we're a Jewish state. If we are a Jewish state, are we a modern Jewish state? Are we a Zionist Jewish state? Are we a democratic Jewish state? Are we a, you know, we're the only country in the entire Middle East that allows freedom of religion.
Right.
And you know what's happening right now in the Knesset is one of the most amazing things that I've seen in a long time is that there are three Arab parties that sit in the Knesset, and there are three separate representatives. They have decided to unite and become one party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the Jews are still fighting with 39 different political parties, everyone trying to get a piece of the pie. And we see that that's not going to work. There needs to be a unity government. And if there's another election, which there's discussion, maybe it may take place as early as March. That's on the table.
Right.
So we have issues that we're dealing with. And we have next week coming up something very special. It's called the Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus.
That's right.
Yeah, it's Yud Tes Kislev. It's associated with the coming of Mashiach, because it's through the spreading of the wellsprings of Chassidus that outward that Mashiach will come. And with Mashiach's coming, there will be a revelation of the new dimensions of the Torah, which will emerge from me, the revelation of the mystic secrets of the Torah. Me, with a capital M, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not
right.
somebody else.
Right.
So in these last moments before the redemption, and we'll, I'm sure, be discussing next week Yud Tes Kislev, the 19th of Kislev.
Sure.
But next week, I will be another year older by the time we have our program, because the day before next week's program, I will have had a birthday, and hopefully next week we'll discuss a little bit about the proper way to celebrate a birthday, as it will be my a very big birthday for me, actually.
Yeah, happy 40. I'll be proactive. Happy 47th year birthday.
No, you're missing the point here. This is a very big birthday. This is a birthday that I don't mind saying. Yeah, I'm going to turn 70. And
wow.
I don't mind saying it. I don't mind saying that, Baruch Hashem, I've made it to 70.
Baruch Hashem.
Some days I feel 70, and other days I only feel 68. You know what I mean? But
right.
It's getting better. I want to give kudos to the Israeli medical system, because I have found some amazing doctors there. They're working
Beautiful. With
me and. And I'm starting to feel actually much better than I did living in New York. Well, part of that, I think, is the weather. And the awakening of our core of our being must be reflected in the concern for the fundamental existence of every Jew. We need to work together, everybody. We need to overcome. Next week, I'm hoping to have a couple people from our board. I know I had mentioned with you privately in conversation that I was going to do that, but I decided to wait until my birthday because it was the better opportunity to bring everybody on and make it a more fun kind of a program where we'll be discussing a variety of different events and activities that will be taking place next week, through Heart to Heart, and specifically and generally to Chabad Hasidus and in a greater generality to all Jews everywhere. And hopefully we can make it a fun time. And I'm going to see if we can get a bunch of our board members on the phone all at once and have everybody participate and make it a real Simcha Dik and Labor Dik event. Now, here in Israel, we're working very hard to develop a variety of new events, new activities for adults, as we have mentioned many times, what Heart to Heart is doing here, Machon Sherev Zimra. I want to say that I know that there are many people that are listening to this program, and I want to thank all of those new people who sent in donations this week that we've never seen before. And I want to thank you, and I will respect your wishes. We had a number of people said, look, we don't mind, we're happy to do it, but please do not mention our names or make any reference to it on the air. We're doing this in the real spirit of tzedakah, and I want to thank you very much. A couple of the donations were significant, and a couple of them were, they were all significant, but a couple of them had a significant in that they were a gift of Usher and Dom, person's actual, physical work and toil that they put together, and I know that a couple of them are looking for Rafua Shlema for members of their family, and I know that one of them called me up or notified me online on Facebook Messenger that they actually are starting to see an improvement in their daughter, who's having serious problems. Anyhow, whatever those problems are, they should all go away, and we should only see and hear good news from everyone. If you need a job, if you need the health, if you're looking for Parnassa, Berea, health, if you're looking for Shalom Bayis, you're looking for a peaceful home, tzedakah is one of the ways to go about making those things a reality. I think we should also make our shout-outs here. I know Bibi's listening in Alabama. I told her to. She better be. And she hasn't been feeling so well. I just want to give her a shout-out and say, Refuah Shlema, we're all pulling for you. We're all davening for you. And we love looking at your art online. She was recently in Israel, in Yerushalayim, and spent a couple weeks here visiting. I want to give a shout-out to Camille Fox, the artist, who also is going to be here in a couple months doing a big art exhibit here in Yerushalayim. Can't wait to meet with her and see her and spend time going over her art with her. I'm a big fan of her. I've got a lot of artistic friends. And me, I'm a stick drawer. I draw stick figures. Then we have, that to me is good. Hey, look at that one. It's running, and then I want to give a shout out, of course, to our board member, one of our most recent board members, and a big supporter of Heart to Heart. He's a regular, and hopefully we'll get him on the program. Maybe we can get him to come in, call in also next week. That'd be great. I don't know where he is. I'm always lost.
The more the merrier.
Where's Ross? Where's Professor Barnard? Yeah, the more the merrier. It's going to be a great show. I'm trying to get a hold of Professor Ryder and a few others. Well, it's going to be a good show. Anyhow, give a shout out to Ross Barnard, Professor Barnard, at the University of Queensland. They had a little bit of bad weather. I saw a photograph from the window of his office. It didn't look like it was. I'm telling you, anybody who's in bad weather right now, come to Israel. This is the place to be. Warm, sunny, bright. I was outside walking around today in Yerushalayim. Down there. By the way, I don't know if I should even say this or not, but I'm going to go ahead. There's a Jewish lady who's a comedian who's a little off color, and I have to say I enjoy her humor once in a while, and I'm a big fan of hers. She's crazy. I mean, there's no question about it. She's absolutely nuts. But she also happens to be a very, very strong pro-Israel, a proponent of Israel. And I saw her walking around in Yerushalayim, and we kind of like made eye contact yesterday or the day before. And I wasn't going to say anything, but I figured, what the heck. In case she's listening, because I know that she's a friend online, I think. She's under another name, of course, but Sarah Silverman, she's a real nutty buddy, but okay. Anyhow, she's a real Yiddish Mädel, and I just want to give her a shout-out because she's I know that she's going through know, whatever comedians go through. She's really out there. Not necessarily my style of humor, but I really appreciate her because she's never ashamed to say that she's a Jew, and she is pretty cutting edge. So I'm not recommending anybody go and listen to her humor, but I will say that she was walking around Yerushalayim with a backpack on, smiling, you know, all by herself. And you know, kol hakavod. I just I gave her a big smile and kind of nodded at each other, and I was like very impressed that, you know, somebody of her stature, I'm talking about in terms of fame, is willing to just wander around. Probably most people wouldn't even notice. You know, you walk around with a ball cap on or whatever. I don't think she had a ball cap on. But, she blended in very well. Anyhow, I've seen a couple other pretty famous people here, just wandering around. And I once mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned, do you know who Neil Sedaka is?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The singer. The singer.
Yeah.
He's a singer, yeah.
So I saw him wandering around the old city. We had a few very quick conversation. There are some very interesting people that, you know, you just bump into here. You know, Yerushalayim is the place, you know, if you want to.
Sure.
Everybody sooner or later will wander through town here. We had, what's his name, Michael Douglas was here a while back. And,
The actor.
He made an event for his son here down by the Kotel. So, you know, there are events and there are people. And if you want to have, by the way, anybody interested in thinking about coming to Israel and wants to make a bar mitzvah here and doesn't know what to do or how to go about it, give us a call. We'll be happy to give you a hand. And anybody who has a special needs child and wants to do such a thing, we will definitely help you out doing something like that. We'll put it together. We'll help you with all the arrangements for the Sefer Torah, for a place to make a little suda and a little meal and afterward, or a big meal if you want to go. That way, it's up to you. We'll be happy to help out. No charge. It's all on us. We don't charge for any of those things. It's just something that we enjoy doing and helping out, because we know that there are a lot of people who come here who just have no connection to anyone and don't know who to contact or how to get where to go for the, for anything.
And,
just Elias, give us a call. We're here.
Yes. I'd like to interject as you're talking. You know, maybe allegorically what we're learning from this week's Torah portion, when Yaakov goes to get those little jars, maybe, and you were talking about how you're opening up your arms and...
Pachim Katanim, is that what you're
saying? Yeah, the small jars. That maybe these are alluding to, again, I have no source, I'm just speaking, allegorically speaking, that Yaakov was telling us those small jars, those differently abled people count, and they're also part of the totality of what he had amassed up, that sensitivity for all levels of the human being living experience on this blessed earth, and that who does he confront? This, again, the archangel, the guardian angel of Esav, which says to him, it's not worth it. And not only that, you're not worth it for making the endeavor, the what might seem to some people a superfluous endeavor to go out of your way to help out a specially abled person. I was thinking about this as well this morning about Rabbi Goldstock. You know, Rabbi Goldstock has a PhD, I think, in neuropsychology, if I remember correctly, and he could be sitting back, and I work in the social services business, he could be raking in big, easy bucks, sitting in a chair with fine Corinthian leather, and having a big cup of coffee and meeting with people for an hour. In America, you could charge a couple hundred dollars a shot. He can be pontificating to people who merely just want to fulfill their needs because loved ones have asked them to see a psychologist, or maybe they're in a social service system and the social service agency wants to look good. Rabbi Goldstock threw all that away to invest all of his energy, and his wife as well, Chana Tova, a true Aishas Chayim, to reach out to those small jars and be willing even to fight off the angel of death, because Rabbi Goldstock has saved many babies in their mother's wombs from being aborted when the doctors, who were supposed to be facilitators of healing, were actually agents of the Samech Mem, the angel of death, to try to encourage the mothers to say, there's no chance, break those jars, don't have those children. So Eliezer, you're taking that Yaakov can teach us, don't forget differently abled people.
You know, thank you very much for that. And I hope you understand that I fine Corinthian leather never really was an attraction for me. But pontificating, I don't mind a little bit of pontificating, you know. I mean, come on, let's face it. You have to somehow, you know, get the message out and blow your horn. We have a number of people. I want to tell you something very interesting. Over the years, we have had a number of people who have been tremendous, big supporters of ours. And some of those are still, some of those people are still with us. Many of them, many people work with us as partners. And we do have quite a number of people who are still very much on board with us. But I want to tell you that after a while, sometimes people just get burned out. They can't keep up with this. And
right.
I must tell you that there were nights when I would come outside of a hospital after dealing with a parent, and in the middle of the night, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I remember sitting in a car one night, I started crying. I was so overwhelmed by what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
that I was beginning to think that perhaps I'm not doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And who do you turn to at that moment? I mean, yeah, I turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I turned to my wife, but you know, unless you were in that room with these parents, and after a while, you walk out of a room and you hear the same lame excuses for why they can't take this child home. And
right.
And they became lame. In the beginning, I dealt with them with enthusiasm, and then I got burned out, and I realized that I was starting to become a little cynical. Now,
mm-hmm.
cynicism and skepticism leads to fear, and fear leads to anger, and anger leads to more fear, and so
and hatred.
And the
and
anger
hatred.
That comes out of you, and that's a problem. So
right.
I, rather than become angry and become fearful, we have other people that work with us. We have a wonderful, wonderful, probably one of the most cynical sarcastic humor of anybody on the planet is Siggy Berger, whose husband
mm-hmm.
is Rabbi Berger, who from New Jersey. She's been working with us, and she's so straightforward and honest with people, and she really many times, you know, set me straight, you know, like let me know that, hey, this isn't about you, it's about them. It isn't about, you know, and she really, she's that kind of a person, very strong. She herself adopted a number of children, all of whom have some form of disability, handicap, or challenge. And her last child that she adopted was a young boy who has Down syndrome, and he also has diabetes. And she wound up getting him a service dog. And she has created a life for this young man so that he'll be able to, you know, take care of himself. And he's a very, very special young man, Shuby. And I just want to give a shout out to them. They've been there through thick and thin. They never, in fact, her husband, Micha, came with me to Israel during the Lebanon War with his son, and the three of us wandered around up near we were in Lebanon in a bunker there. We were we went to the hospital and visited the soldiers in the Rambam Hospital. So I can say that I have some people that have been with us for a long, long time who've been solid participants. I always have to mention our friend in Crown Heights, Leah Beck, who's done an amazing job of raising two children. And I want to say something to many of the people who have over the years, and I know that this is like kind of a crazy moment, and I don't even know what overcame me to do this, but I have a number of families who've adopted more than one child with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Some who had a child and then adopted a second child, as we did. We had a child and wound up adopting a child. And then, of course, had a child born with Down syndrome and eventually adopted him, another child. And then we have people who just adopted, straight up adopted two children and have gone through Gehenna in many ways. It hasn't been, you know, all rosy and wonderful. People don't understand, and it's difficult, and the challenges, and dealing with all of the various aspects of conflict that come up in the day-to-day life and in the schooling and in the healthcare. These are all issues that these people have been dealing with for, you know, the past 20, 25 years since we started. And I want to say just a gross yasha krayach to everybody who's been there, who's made it possible for me to continue without breaking down outside of a hospital after dealing with families. We've developed some techniques that we use working with families. We have the highest rate of acceptance amongst anybody anywhere in the world that we get people to accept their child and take them home. And there's no one who has a higher percentage of families that have actually accepted their child, have taken them home. And I think I've mentioned you in the past. I was once standing, this happened to me several times now, but standing in a pizza shop on a Motze Shabbos, and a little girl walks up behind me, a little 10 or 11-year-old girl, tugs on the back of my kapata, and I turn around, and she goes, "Hi, Tati." I look, and I recognize, you know, little Downsy girl. I look across the room, and there's her father, who happened to be the proud parent of a child that was a heart-to-heart baby that he adopted.
Wow.
And he wanted to make sure that she came over and let me know that, you know, he still recognized the bracha that we were part of for him and his life. He and his wife could not have children of their own, and they adopted this little maidel. And after they adopted this little girl, they eventually had their own baby, had a baby themselves, which was a miracle in and of itself.
Wow.
A real
name. Wow.
And he said, and this has happened, by the way, I want to tell you, this is not the first time. I had a young man here I had a young man here in Katamon. Came to me when I first got here, and he said, "You're from Heart to Heart." In Hebrew, he says. My wife and I, can't have children. We want to adopt. We're very interested.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Okay." I said, "I don't know what I can do with that." But I said, "If I come up with a baby, I'm going to find a way to help you out." So he tells me on the sly that his wife has an American passport. So now I've got a little leeway, because after post 9/11, I've only been able to pull this shtick a couple times, you know, without getting caught. Thank God. But we weren't able to, you know. So I found a baby, and I called New York, and I got a hold of the family, and I spoke with them. I said, "Look, I don't want to take this baby from you. I'm not even going to care. But I just want to let you know I have a very good family that's interested. If you should decide not to take this baby, I want you to know about that."
Right.
And they said, "Okay, thank you very much. We really appreciate it." And I came back, and I told this young man here in Katamon, I said, "Listen, we have a family that's interested. We may have a baby for you." And his eyes lit up, and he said, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem." Right? Okay. Turns out that baby, the family wanted, we did our job on the other side of the fence, did our job very well. The family decided to keep the baby, and they took the baby home. Now, I come back, and I feel bad, but I tell him what happened. Several months later, he walks into shul and announces that he and his wife just had a baby.
Wow.
This was like 6 months ago or 7 months ago that this whole thing took place. At that time, I don't think he even knew that they were expecting. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So the nace happened because he was willing to say, "Okay, I'll do what you want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu." You know? They put a tzetel in the igris. I will get into that probably next week, too. All right. Bottom line is, if you want to get a hold of us, you want to help us out, you know, we are still everywhere, and we're still working with people, quietly. And I had, unfortunately, a young lady who was, I can't get into that story yet. That's not a story.
Next week, Elliot.
Okay.
Tell the people.
No,
how
it's not even a story I can tell next week. But there are people who are out there hurting, who have been used and abused in many ways, and they come to us because they know that we're going to provide for them. We're not going to charge them. Or if we have to charge them anything, it's a very minimal fee for, you know, expenses and whatever, transportation, that kind of thing. And I want to give a shout out to the schools that we're working with in New York, especially the school up in Washington Heights, the Usher Early Childhood Education Program up in Washington Heights. That's under the auspices of the of Chabad up there. They are doing a full inclusion program that we've been working with them. I went there and trained all the staff at the beginning of the year. We did that at our own expense, and again, that was our gift to the program. They're doing an amazing job, and I want to give a shout out to them. I also want to give a shout out to the school in Ateret in Brooklyn, there's a new program that we're going to be working with. We haven't finalized all of the plans with them, but give a shout out to them. And I also want to say, anybody who wants to get in touch with us for any reason, you want to make a simcha here, you want to get in touch with us, you want to participate in helping one of the families or one of the adults that we're working with, you want to help us with our new building here in Eretz Yisrael, you can contact me via www.hearttoheartamerican.org. You can call me at 052-869-9972. No, that's not it. It's 05, did I say that? 052-86, 99972. Correct. Or you can contact me at 718-778-0111. Or you can send us, you want to mail something to us, you can send it to 383 Kingston Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11213, Suite 232. That's 383 Kingston Avenue, Suite 232, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. Or you can mail to Heart to Heart, Ben Zakai, Benzakai, 18-1, Jerusalem, Israel, 93186, or you can send me, or you can contact me on Facebook, Rabbi Eliezer Goldstock, or Heart to Heart American Jewish Society for Distinguished Children on Facebook, or you can contact Don at
347-613-4615. Is that 347-613-4615? You'll either reach me live or please text me a message. My answering option is not working at this point in time. You can also send me an email at Don Goodman, DonGoodman, then punch in numerical 6 at gmail.com. Eliezer, I'd like to thank you for today. I thought it was a super program. And also, I'm looking forward to next week where we're going to be celebrating your birthday. I'm sorry, we're not going to be playing, we'll be playing the Beatles. Happy birthday, but maybe I'll loosen up my vocal cords, spray my throat with a little propolis, and we'll talk about how you're not...
I'm going to do a bracha after bracha for the juice I drank. You're going to do a bracha Corina for the mezonos, you said? You ate?
No,
I
didn't have enough mezonos for a shir.
I'm going to say a bracha chorena real quick. Bracha tarinai lehinim alchayim bereinu vashayis v'abayis v'chazunan al kol ma'ash abrasa lachayis v'hem nefesh kol chay v'chei olamim. Have a wonderful week, everybody. And, get another year older, week older, and I'll get another year older.
And as Rabbi Goldstein gets a little year older, the world will be less colder because they'll be able to warm up the world with the Torah insights from Jerusalem. thoughts for life and living life in a productive, pleasant, and peaceful manner. And I just want to mention the concluding blessing that Rabbi Goldsack made. I'm going to just read it out to you, blessed souls. Blessed are you, Lord, our King, King of the universe, creator of numerous living things and their needs, for all the things you have created with which to sustain the soul of every living being. Blessed is he, meaning creator, who is the life of all the worlds. Let's get now a little help from Hashem, from the Diaspora Yeshiva Ben, hopefully in the way of Ahavachad, one love, Garlachad, one destiny, Kulan of all of us, B'dach Hashem, Dachi Noam, in a peaceful and pleasant way. Take care, everyone.
Have a great week.
Have a great week. And if you stick with Soul Class with Heart to Heart from Jerusalem and the rest of the world, you'll be on a winning streak. Take care, everyone.
Thank you very much.